They've been offering this theme of the five faculties over the last, I think it's already 2 months now, February and March. So these five faculties, the five spiritual faculties, are faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. And so last week, on Tuesday, we looked together at a text written by Bhikkhu Bodhi, a monk and scholar. And Bhikkhu Bodhi, he talked about how the five faculties help us to overcome the three defilements. And he made the point that the purpose of these five faculties is to overcome those three defilements. And so the three defilements are also called the three unwholesome roots of existence. And in Pali, they're called Kilesa. And so today I want to look at what are those three unwholesome roots of existence, and how do the five faculties help to overcome them. So kind of a little bit building onto what Bhikkhu Bodhi wrote last week. It was kind of very dense text. what we discussed last week is also on the website, including a link to the original text. And so the kilesa in Pali is often translated as defilement. Kilesa is plural, so defilements. And in English, that's maybe not the best word or not an amazing word to use because it sounds so awful. So sometimes, you know, or another way to translate it is that there are also the unwholesome roots of existence. And I think that's a nice way to describe it, because those three are basically the root of all of the unwholesomeness that arises in our lives, or in our minds, basically, in hearts, minds. And the three are, the simplest translations are greed, hate, and delusion. Those are the three. And there's more to it, though, to the translations. Because the first one, the greed, the Pali word, and Pali was the language in which the oldest Buddhist scriptures were written down in. The first one is loba in Pali, and it basically means the whole range of anything from the slightest kind of wanting to deep attachment and clinging. And so anything like greed, wanting, desire, attachment, clinging, those kind of states of heart-mind that we can experience. And in our meditation, it can express itself in many different ways. One could be, for example, to want some, a certain outcome from our meditation, like feeling a little bit more rested at the end, or feeling peaceful or at ease, or those kind of emotions or feelings we might want to all experience. Sometimes it can express itself in daily life as an attachment to things being a certain way. A silly example from my own life is that I like to have the dish brush on the right side of the sink, and my wife likes it on the left side of the sink. And so every time, like now we decided on the left side, but for practical reasons, but every time I was still like, I want it on the right side. So feeling this attachment to this silly dish brush thing, you know, really feeling, okay, there's a little bit of attachment here. And of course we have also much deeper attachments that are more serious, but we can notice it in small things too. And so that's loba, this really this range of greed, of clinging, of wanting. And then the next unwholesome root is dosa in Pali. And this often translated as hate, which I think is kind of strong, strong word. So it's basically about everything from the mildest annoyance or irritation to the strongest hate you can experience. And so it's a whole range, and there's not really an English word for this whole range of it. except for maybe unwholesomeness or something, maybe something like that. And so when we sit in meditation, we might feel aversion towards pain arise, or the not wanting of sleepiness, or not wanting of restlessness. So it's also kind of a not wanting. So it's the opposite of wanting, the other side of the coin, basically. And it could also arise in our daily lives, obviously, frustration about the light turning red in front of you, or you know, whatever. It's just little things, but it can be big things too. It can express itself as intense anger or worry or doubt or these kind of emotions too. And then the third root of unwholesomeness is moha, which is often translated as delusion or ignorance. And this is about not seeing clearly what is actually going on, not knowing clearly. One of the ways Vipassana is sometimes described is seeing things as they are. And when moha is present, when delusion is present, we don't see things as they are. And basically every time lobha or dosa are present, so the greed or the hate, to use those translations, it's actually based on moha, so on delusion, because the moha tricks us into thinking that this is somehow helpful to see it that way, or somehow the right way to see things. Like, we can have this, you know, really this desire for something to be a certain way, or this aversion for something to not be a certain way, and think that we will be happy as soon as that's being resolved. Well, then the next thing will arise, and the next thing, and next thing. It's a never-ending story. It's kind of like, that's the kind of the endless cycle of samsara. So moha kind of tricks us into just this thing, just this needs to be different, just this dishbrush, and then you'll be happy. But no, then the next thing will arise. So that's kind of the moha, the delusion. Sometimes it can just be a cloudiness in the mind, a fogginess of not seeing what's really there. Or sometimes like a tuning out, like this feeling of being tuned out and not really present. And so they are called the three unwholesome roots of existence, because they are at the root of the unwholesome states in our experience, in our life. And so it's important to keep an eye out for them, to notice when they arise, to notice what they feel like in the body, in the mind. And noticing them and seeing them and noticing how they feel is actually the function of mindfulness, which is the third of the five faculties, the middle one. And mindfulness helps us to at least get a clearer outlook at the kilesas. Sharon Salzberg is a meditation teacher. She says, the main function of mindfulness is to be the platform for insight or understanding. It's changing our relationship to everything so we can see deeply what our experience actually is, who we actually are, and where happiness actually comes from. And so when we start to see the three unwholesome roots, then we start to see that happiness doesn't come from there, basically. We start to see that they are actually suffering and leading onward to suffering when we engage with them and when we fuel them. So if we are not aware of them arising, then we cannot really do anything about them. So that's the first thing to do, to know that they're arising. Mindfulness is the foundation for overcoming these unwholesome roots. And that's what Bhikkhu Bodhi was talking about in the essay that we looked at last week. He wrote, as a group, the faculties accomplish the collective task of establishing inner balance and harmony. And mindfulness is at the basis of that, because if we don't see clearly what disturbs this balance and harmony, which are the three unwholesome roots are disturbing it, then nothing else is going to happen. And so the other faculties then, they also support this journey in overcoming those three unwholesome roots and working with the three unwholesome roots, this kilesa or defilements. And the first one is faith. And I earlier gave an introductory talk on the five faculties, and I also mentioned this, that this translation of the word sadda, often translated as faith, can sometimes also be translated as trust or confidence, because faith can have this connotation for people of this religious kind of, you have to believe something blindly or something, and that's not what this is about. This is really about faith that arises from within, because, for example, the Buddha describes in the texts that people can have faith in awakening because he is awakened. So by seeing the example, the faith arises. So the trust and the confidence arises in that this path actually works, and that it also can work for us. And so if we have some faith or trust or confidence in ourselves, or like in our own ability to do this practice, and or in the practice itself, the teachings, the potential to that it leads to more and more happiness and more freedom in our lives, then this type of faith, this type of trust can be a huge support on this path of overcoming these unwholesome roots. Because that's kind of spurs us into wanting to practice and trusting that it's actually going to work. And even if we don't really maybe notice something right away, that we know, okay, if we just keep going, then, you know, it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And maybe we even know it from our own experience, that we've practiced for a little bit and then something happened. Like, we saw some pattern or conditioning and we saw, oh, that's actually really unhelpful, and it was let go of, or something like that. Or we noticed that we experienced some peacefulness in the meditation after we had a stressful day, or, you know, these kind of things, that we start to notice how the practice is actually helping us or supporting us. And so if faith or trust is lacking, then the opposite is usually present, doubt, which is also one of the five hindrances. And if there's a lot of doubt, then, you know, you can imagine that, you know, you're not doing as much, you're not going to sit in meditation, and, you know, it's just gonna disturb the path. And so it's really important to see doubt for what it is. It's doubt, it's a hindrance. And to to work with it as a hindrance. And I gave a talk on it earlier on. It's on the website, where I also gave some tips and ideas of how to work with doubt if that's something that comes up in your practice. And doubt is part of the unwholesome roots too. It's an unwholesome mind state that that falls under the category of dosa usually, so the quote unquote hate root. And so Bhikkhu Bodhi in his article said, "The faculty of faith provides the element of inspiration and aspiration, which steers the mind away from the quagmire of doubt and settles it with serene trust in the triple gem." The triple gem is the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, as the supreme basis of deliverance. Deliverance is basically awakening. I really like his way of using language. So he has a really good way of writing. And so this faith, this trust, can then really spark energy, which is the second of the five faculties. And then it's like Bhikkhu Bodhi said in this quote that I just read, faith provides inspiration and aspiration. And so when that's present, then it's really easy to muster up the energy for actually doing the practice. And to start the practice and to keep going on the practice. And so of course we need some energy to do this work. You know, even if we just sit here quietly on our cushion, there's some energy needed to keep going with our minds, you know, to have some motivation. Like energy can also be a form of motivation. It's not only physical energy to stay awake, but also mental energy to stay clear and mindful and motivated and interested in the experience, even if it's unpleasant and, yeah, difficult. And so, ideally, faith has arisen, and then energy has arisen, and then we're mindful. And so, I already talked a little bit about mindfulness. But when we are mindful, we know what's happening in our experience, whether it's something difficult, like the three unwholesome roots, or something maybe pleasant, like something wholesome, like joy or happiness, or kindness. And so when we keep on practicing mindfulness, then the fourth faculty will arise, concentration. And so concentration arises when we practice continuously or consistently. It's something that can naturally arise when we practice consistently. And we can also put in extra effort for concentration to happen by focusing on one thing. Like if you keep on focusing on the breath for longer periods of time, like on a longer retreat, then deeper concentration states might arise. And if you do Vipassana and you pay attention to your moment-to-moment experience, then a form of concentration can arise that is called moment-to-moment concentration. So there's different forms of concentration and different ways of getting there. And whatever form of concentration we're cultivating, it will be supportive for this clear seeing, because concentration helps us to see more clearly what is happening. Concentration is like a magnifying glass on our experience. So we will see, it's almost like you're zooming in to experience, so the experience becomes clearer and more like, it's as if the experience slows down when we're concentrated. So it's easier to see what is happening. So it has a very important function in the practice. And also in that sense, because there is such a clear seeing when the concentration arises, is that it's really supportive for the next faculty of wisdom, the last faculty, the fifth of the spiritual faculties. And wisdom is not something that we can make happen, but the only thing we can do is put in place the conditions for wisdom to arise. And putting in place what we've talked about so far, so the faith, the energy, the mindfulness, and the concentration will really help for the wisdom to arise. And so with mindfulness, we will see the three unwholesome roots, the kilesa, and we see that those in our own experience, and we start to see how they are leading to more and more suffering, and how wholesomeness leads to more and more freedom and happiness. And so wisdom will learn from that. Wisdom will start to gain insights. As my teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, he says wisdom or any aspect is just an aspect of the mind. It's not us. It's not that we are wise, but there's just wisdom arising, there's anger arising, there's concentration arising. So we don't have to take it so personally. And so this teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, he says, examine what is happening and try to learn from it. Try to understand the nature of this kind of mind. Try to understand how it works. But this takes time. It will take many such observations for true understanding to arise. So this also points a little bit to patience. Patience on, in this process of seeing these unwholesome roots. Trying to understand these unwholesome roots and how they arise, why they arise, and what they lead to. And so this is a gradual process of starting to understand things and gaining insights into the nature of our hearts and minds. And I think it's important to also mention that there are three wholesome roots of existence as well. So that we can pay attention to those as well when they arise and what causes and conditions lead to wholesomeness to arise in our hearts and minds. And the Buddha describes the three wholesome roots as a non-greed, a non-hatred, and non-delusion. and so, but the opposites of those are kindness, compassion, and wisdom. So, or generosity, compassion, and wisdom sometimes. And so it's also important to keep an eye out for the wholesome roots so that we can start to see the whole picture of wholesomeness and unwholesomeness arising. And the Buddha really encourages us to steer in the direction of wholesomeness and to let go of unwholesomeness. And that's not something we can really make happen. That's that gradual process that happens through these insights. And so in this way, do the five faculties really support this clear seeing and this clear insight into our experience, into both the wholesomeness and the unwholesomeness. Now, faith helps us to spur us onto the path and helps us to continue. Energy helps us to have enough motivation and enough mental and physical energy to keep going. And then once we have some degree of faith and energy, then mindfulness can help us to see what is going on. There are defilements present, conditionings present, wholesomeness present. And then when mindfulness gains momentum, concentration can start to grow. And then we start to see more clearly, and then wisdom can start to arise, insights and understandings can start to arise. And so I want to end with a quote from the Buddha. Practitioners, there are these five faculties. What five? The faculties of faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. These are the five faculties. It is because of developing and cultivating these five faculties that a practitioner realizes the undefiled freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom in this very life, and they live having realized it with their own insight due to the ending of defilements.